and welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook. It's been a strange time for everyone involved, but we're here to hopefully bring you some smiles and some chat, because I am here with Adam Carroll and Christopher White. How are you, lads? All right?
Very good.
Thank you. Good.
Good. Good acting, good line. Pleased to hear it. We've actually got quite a lot to talk about, because we blew our load last week. My fucking watch is still trying to talk, lads. We blew our load a bit last week talking about all the big games and held the podcast back for our Patreons so they could hear that all. But that left us, we feel, oh God, we're going to talk about the same games again. But thankfully, Sony and Microsoft did our job for us, and they're both sort of, well, I nearly said revealed their consoles then, but I think Xbox have kind of revealed their console, haven't they? And Sony haven't really. I wanted to start this podcast not with what we've been playing, but more about what we're going to be playing, which is obviously the future of gaming, the PS5, the Xbox One, the Xbox Series X. And I suppose we should talk about them in order, because Xbox have, I'll be honest with you, right off the bat, both of these companies are doing things in a way I really don't like. I don't like exclusive reveals of consoles. I think it makes things really muddy, and I don't like it at all. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the Xbox One X, to start with, anyway. Christopher, what? Interested? Well, I don't know. I mean,
I'm always interested in the next generation of consoles, but I'm sure there are a lot of people like me that don't necessarily take in all the spec information. They'd rather just see it in action. Like I appreciate the hard work and what's gone into it, and what each console's capable of, but I just want to see gameplay. I want to see games. I'm excited for it, because I know it'll bring a new level of games to the world. But unless they're any good, then what's the point?
So last gen, when this all happened then, Adam Carroll, I'm sure you'll remember this, I really don't like this sort of willy-waving in terms of the power of our console, because the thing is, right, the Xbox One X is more powerful than the PlayStation 4 Pro, right? But that means nothing, because the exclusives that bring you to the console, because let's be honest, nowadays we've got to the point where the games kind of have parity. Like, if you're playing a Ubisoft game on Xbox or PS4, you're getting the same experience roughly, aren't you? Give or take. So what you're picking a console for, if you have to pick a console, is the games. So I sort of worry a little bit that Xbox haven't learned their lesson from the last launch. And while they're talking about, you know, they certainly seem to be people more friendly toward the consumer, and Game Pass has certainly helped that, I read these specs, and what I walked away thinking is, there's no way this console's less than £500. Adam Carroll.
I think it will be less than 500. Not to bring up the current situation, but going forward, if they do plan to release it this year,
it's coming out the holiday this year, I think.
Yeah. So how many people are really going to be able to just drop like the bones of £500?
Yeah, but the thing is, man, even if they launched it at I think it'll be $549.99. Launch it at that, they will still be losing money. Like, hardware has always been a loss leader. You always lose money on hardware. So it doesn't matter how the situation changes, they are a business and they aren't going to drop it to, there's a margin. You know what I mean? There's always a margin they can drop it to. They never make profit on it. I just, like, what did you make of this, the whole situation of, you know, here's the Series X full specs? Look, we've invited people to pretend to put the console together, that sort of stuff, you know.
I'm exactly the demographic that Chris is saying, where I'm not interested. It's not really my thing. I look at it and I go, okay, I know the basic stuff that I want to know, but when it gets into the nitty gritty, and I there's an audience for that kind of thing. We all know that, and we'll obviously get to that when we talk to Sony, because I think this actual conversation from yesterday's, which as of recording was yesterday, Sony's chat about the PS5, it got people up in a bit of a heap, and I, I like there's a place for it. It's not for me. I like to just see the console. I like to know how kind of fast it is, I guess. But then it gets way too deep. And at the end of it, then when I hear it all, and then I come away from it going, oh, I didn't get anything really that's of interest for me. It kind of, I just kind of go, oh, whatever, okay, grand. And I do think there's a lot more people, maybe a lot more of our listeners are like that, you know. I think, like, let's get straight to it. Like, with the PS5 one, me and you were back and forth, Adam, talking about it, and...
Well, that was a marketing or a PR issue. They promoted that as if it was going to be some sort of reveal, but it was never going to be that. Like, the week that we're in right now, the week that happened, would have been GDC, which is Game Developers Conference, which is not for the public. It is a talk Mark Cerny has always given. He has always done a tech-heavy talk. It would have been for... It's aimed at investors. It's aimed at developers. It's not aimed at the public, because no PR person would put that statement out publicly in that style. So I don't know why it was promoted. It definitely was promoted like that. I saw it on Facebook. Like, hey, they're unveiling. And they do say a deep dive. And it definitely was a deep dive.
Oh,
but it makes no sense to have promoted it as... a kind of reveal when that's just not what it was.
Yeah.
And it was weird, because I had multiple, like, you were one of them, but lots of people were texting me going, this is dull. And it's like, yeah, but it's not for us. It's not even for people in the media. It is for investors and developers. And it's because people, you know, someone else was saying to me, you know, but won't they have dev kits already? Yeah, so some of them will, but not the small ones. GDC is a big thing for small developers to be able to have meetings and see this sort of stuff. They won't have dev kits for PS5s yet, you know?
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I was pretty pissed off with it.
It was boring. It was really boring.
I was like, extremely
the bit where they
bored.
Went into audio... The bit where they went into audio was like, this is unbelievable. You know, I think I said, message you, and I find it hard to believe even someone in, you know, investment sort of opportunities or in development would find this actually interesting rather than just getting a spec sheet and understanding it with some paperwork. You know, like, the thing is, I want to go back to the X, right? I had a sort of ongoing conversation with Mikhail Madnani on our site, because I said to him a while ago, I think the Xbox Series X will have the same user interface as the current Xbox One. And I think that's because they want this to be the Xbox family of consoles. And in the Digital Foundry stuff via Eurogamer that they had on this, they showed the suspending stuff. Did you see this at all, you guys?
No.
Did you see the...
No.
So they basically showed... You know how games are supposed to be able to suspend now? But they don't... They do, but they don't quite work as advertised, do they?
No.
And they showed this, like, they switched between The Cave, which was an Xbox 360 game, and I think Forza Horizon, I think it was, might have been Forza 7, one of the Forza games, The Cave, and then they switched to a third game, I've forgotten that, and it was quick, and what it does is essentially, you know when you hit the guide button or the PlayStation button, it kind of just pauses your state, as it were, and then when you go back, it just is like, you unpause it. So that's what it's doing, it's pausing that, it's storing that on the RAM in the memory so you can come back. But the thing is, it was the old UI and it was old games. So even that, to me, was like, maybe that's placeholder UI. But why would it be? The console's out this year. In theory, it's out in the next sort of 7 months. Why would they be using the Xbox One's UI to show off the Xbox Series X capabilities? I found myself a bit like thinking, so are we... I really don't think these consoles are going to feel... like the PS4 and Xbox One did, like they felt like a new generation. Because the Xbox Series X, for example, and the PS5, to me, already I'm thinking, well, I've got a good PC. Well, so any Xbox Series X game comes to PC, they and it's Game Pass. Like, I think it was Mick Fraser said to me the other day, he's like, oh, I really fancy that State of Decay 2 now they've updated it, I might buy it. And I was like, why are you buying a game that's free on Game Pass? And he's like, oh shit, yeah, Game Pass, because it's an Xbox game, isn't it? And the problem for me is that I know that Sony will do something from Naughty Dog. You know, I know we'll have a Spider-Man 2. You know, that we will at some point have a Horizon Zero Dawn 2. I know those games are coming, and I would be excited to play them. I don't need to know the specs. If you say to someone, the next gen of consoles is coming, you will already know, well, they're going to be, it's going to be more powerful. That's a given, isn't it, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, isn't, you know, Xbox have... bought all these developers, these studios, and that's great. I really feel like they don't need to do the William waving, as it were. Tell us what these studios are up to. Because, you know, I go back to when they announced Obsidian were doing that, like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids style Fallout 76 sort of, you know, survival game. And I'm like, oh, are they? And then I see Ninja Theory are doing this, I don't want to sound nasty, but just so you understand what I mean. It's like, you know, this kind of Overwatch hero shootery melee game. And I'm like, ah. But they're also making Hellblade 2. And I was like, are they? Okay, well, Hellblade was a great game, Chris, would you say? But it was a very specific game. And it will not appeal to everyone. And it is not a mass market game. It is not an Uncharted game. It is not, you know, that sort of thing. We know there'll be a Forza, of course there will. We know there'll be a Gears 6, of course there will. We know Halo's coming, but do you see what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I want Microsoft to come out and say we are making Fable, whatever, 4 or 5, 4 at this point, and it's Obsidian doing it. It's like, that's great. Just, I am not impressed by the hardware. Well, I'm impressed by the hardware because the hardware's impressive, but I mean, it's not made me go, oh God, I wasn't that fussed before, but now I just need to spend £500 on the new Xbox, especially when I know that the games are going to work on the old one anyway for 2 years.
Yeah, it's just because we're still very much, I think 90% of people, well, probably 95% of people, are very happy with what they have. Like,
You played the Final Fantasy VII demo, right?
Yeah. And, it looks amazing. Everything is... Right. Like, I'm not seeing it and going, oh.
You know, one of the Xbox things was that they found a way of basically making HDR work on Xbox games, original Xbox games. When was the last time either of you played a backwards compatible game? Let alone one two gens old?
Oof. 4 months ago.
Okay.
But it was.
And
it,
have it either was... of you got HDR compatible tellies?
No.
So, and I would call you two hardcore. Adam, would you call yourself a fairly hardcore gamer?
Yeah.
I would say so, definitely, yeah.
So what I'm saying is, are you two excited right now about what the next gen is bringing? I don't want this to be the negative podcast. I don't, but I just really wish they hadn't done this again, because this is what they, you know, it just to me sounds like these consoles are going to deliver on the promises that this gen was supposed to.
Hmm. Like, yeah, like if I'm with all the power that they're talking about, and like even in the PS5 one, he was mentioning about backwards compatibility and saying like, oh, yeah. It's just too expensive and whatever. But they've brought in the PS4 one. I'm like, okay, all right, we can play PS4 games. And they're saying that like most games will be able to run on launch day and stuff. And they're like, all right, I'd expect that. But it kind of just blows my mind how it's just like Sony won't go, look, you can just play everything and anything PlayStation, you can just throw it in and play it. I know it's like they're saying it's expensive and stuff, but that's where personally me as the gamer, that's where I get excited. I'd be like, oh, amazing. Do you know, like, so I like, for example, I was wanting to play Lords of Shadow this week because I finished Castlevania Season 3. I was really buzzed for it. So I was like, where's my PS3? So I was like, open my cupboard, there's my PS3 in the box. I turn around, I look at my setup and I go, oh fuck, I couldn't be bothered. And that to me is a very fair thing to like want in the next gen, at least, is for them to turn around and go, you can play every PlayStation. If it says PlayStation on the box, you can put it into the machine. That to me is power. That is a good step up. And I know like a lot of people won't go, they don't want to go backwards, but it's the option that's there, as opposed to like the loading stuff that they talk about and all that jazz. Look, if it goes in quicker, brilliant. But if it's like, if it works that way, fantastic. But I don't look at these things and go, fucking hell, the load. If the loading is bad in a game, it's patched up fairly quickly. And
yeah, Bloodborne, for example.
Bloodborne is a prime example. My God, Bloodborne on day one was something else. Yeah. It was fixed, and this is what patching is all about. So to go back to like you saying, are you excited? I'm not really. I'm all.
But is that because you're on the cusp of starting Animal Crossing, Doom, Final Fantasy VII, Resident Evil 3, Nemesis, and...
Well, yeah,
do, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like...
You know what I mean, right?
Definitely. Like, they were saying, like, do you know, there was rumours going around during the week that, you know, we possibly won't see the PS5 or the new Xbox this year because of the certain situation in the world. And I was there kind of going, I wouldn't mind that. I'd be okay with it. Like, I'm fine with that if it goes on to next year. Like, it would be probably, like, 2021, where I'd be like, the end of that, I'd be like, okay, I'd be up for something new now, maybe. Like, depending on the games. But until I see a stream of games coming out that don't impress me, like, as you said, we've played the Final Fantasy VII demo, we all went on about how amazing it looked. Like, the visual stuff is there, and I don't think any of us were saying that, like, that demo alone, you know, oh, it was very slow here and the frame rate was bad here. It's not. Like, I want to hear from the developers. I want to see what they're going to bring to these things. I just want to see more stuff. I don't want to know about the insides right now, and that's that. It's weird.
Well, let me rephrase the question then, right? Right now.
Yeah.
Okay, right, as of right now. Start with you, Chris. Yep. I mean, this is a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it because I'm stupid. If you could only have one of these, from what you know, which one is it?
PS5.
Adam?
PS5.
And my only reasoning is simply because I know I will be getting God of War 2, Spider-Man 2, Horizon Zero Dawn 2.
God of War, how did I forget that?
Like, that's like the Xbox, because at the minute they're both more or less the same. I'll play whatever I've got on each. It doesn't matter if I get Assassin's Creed on the Xbox, I'll play it on the Xbox. I don't have to have it on PS5. It's just the first party games. There's more first party games on the PlayStation 4, which I prefer as opposed to the Xbox, because you've got The Last of Us 2 as well in the mix. So there's a hell of a lot more first-party games that I want to play on the PlayStation, and that's the only reason going into the new generation why I would choose a PS5. I know they're going to be better consoles. None of the...
Well, they have to. I mean, that's the whole point, isn't
but
it?
None of
if they
the,
were worse, it would be a joke.
No, exactly. None of the specs I couldn't care less about, because I know they'll both be good. It's only upon their release where we'll start to see maybe issues with them. Like, there's always been issues somewhere here and there. I mean, PS3 with, like, Skyrim, for instance. You don't know until you get them. But at the minute, PS5 will be the console I get solely because of the first-party games that I know will be coming out on it.
Adam, you said the same answer. I'm guessing your reason is the same as well.
Yeah, it really is.
Now, don't get me wrong. I love Ori and the Will of the Wisps. And I love Gears. But even if I couldn't afford an Xbox Series X, I could play those on PC.
Yeah.
So that's why I wonder in time, this is a really awful thing to say, I wonder if in time Game Pass will bite them on the arse. Because if they're going to lose money on hardware, which you think, well, yeah, because you're not buying games. So there must come a point where Game Pass is a better value for them than it is for us, almost, because they are giving away every first-party game. Bleeding Edge is out next week. This week, as you listen to this, it's free. And the question I've had about Game Pass for the longest is that we know lots of people love Game Pass. We know almost everyone's got it. But what I would be truly curious to know is, of Game Pass users, how many people download a game when it's out, play 10 to 20 minutes of it, maybe an hour, and then don't touch it again? I would be truly curious to know those stats and what impact that has on future development. Because, like Sony have said, we look at the data. We know how people play. So Xbox must know that data. They must do. I mean, Xbox has always been pretty good about servicing that data. You should have websites dedicated to achievements and tracking. I just wonder how many people download Ori and go, this is amazing, I'll play it through all the way. But they download, say, State of Decay or Gears or, you know, and they play...
I've just done that. I've just downloaded State of Decay 2 about a week ago and played 20 minutes of it. I like it, but I'm not going to play anymore just because I...
Right. Now if you'd paid for that game...
Yeah.
That game specifically, how much would you play before you were like, yeah?
More than that. Good.
Of course you would.
Because it's my money. You know?
Exactly. With Game Pass, it's a subscription service. And I don't know how that impacts the industry. Because what's the point of downloading games you're not playing? Do you know what I mean? I wonder if the long tail of that is people go, well, hang on, money's tight, and I'm not playing these. I'd rather just buy Doom Eternal because I want to play Doom Eternal. Mm. I'd rather just buy Ori and the Will of the Wisps because I'm hyped for it. I don't really need or want Bleeding Edge. And I wonder if in time, like I say, if they're losing money on the hardware, somewhere there's money being made. That's how business works. How are they? Do you know what I mean? I mean, these games cycle in and out, some of them. But first party games, they are free. They are on Game Pass, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be a really weird future.
I think it's extremely... I think Game Pass is amazing. I know you lads are always on it and stuff. And like I myself would love to be in on it too. But I do think that's what I would be doing as well. Is I would get a game.
Of course you would.
And I would download it and I go, cool. Like there would be definitely certain titles I'd want to play. But there's something like, say, like Gears. When Gears came to it, for me, I don't know what it is, but I just feel very strange getting it off of Game Pass, like just there and then, here you have it.
Because does it diminish it? Does it make it feel like less of a AAA release?
I say
it's the same thing to the likes of Spotify and stuff. Like for years and years and years, I used to travel up to get a CD, and I'd feel like, oh, duh, this is, like, do you know, even if it's shit, Metallica Saint Anger, I'm going to love it.
Oh, what a crap album.
Do you know what I mean? That's what you'd end up doing.
Do you know the one for me? Do you remember when Radiohead released Kid A?
Yeah.
Ran up to the shops to buy that. Literally at work, a different job now. At work, I literally put it on the CD player to listen to it. I was listening to it and it was like, this is awful. But I tell you, I have since that day... Once a year, I will put that on and go, no, everyone says this is great. You know, I must, what's wrong with me? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I paid for that, and I was so excited for it.
There are things like that, but, like, I don't know, like
Spotify, shit, by the way.
Like
Spotify, shit, I'm sorry.
Spotify does, like, do that alone, you know. You get an album comes out at midnight, and you just go, boom, there it is. You listen to it, and you're instantly, you might get through two or three tracks, and you instantly have a judge. You can just judge it straight away.
And yeah, you've sent me links and I've gone three tracks into it and gone, not for me.
Yeah, like,
you know, or the opposite happens, but, you know.
Which is completely, like...
It's amazing.
I think that's, like, I don't think Game Pass is ever going to, like, I don't think they're going to be in trouble, but, like, if the future is that, I think it just needs to be a bit more, the developers deserve better. In terms, like, I know developers are like, oh, for indie developers especially, they're like, oh, this platform is existing here, it's amazing, I can put my game out, they take it, it's, hope to God everyone plays it. But you know, if you're like, say, Ori and stuff, like, who people, like, a lot of people love, like, if people only give that like 10 minutes or something, it's deserving.
That's a crime.
Do you know, it's more deserving than that, you know. But there is people who will do that, and that's a real shame. Because you could have the conversation with somebody going, did you try this? And they're like, oh, I downloaded it and I put it on for 15 minutes and it's just not my thing. You can't judge something off of 15 minutes, do you know what I mean? Or half an hour. You need to give us a couple of hours. Like,
well, let's do some predictions then. Just some simple yes or no's and some simple quick hits then. Right, Christopher White.
Yes.
Price of the Xbox Series X on launch. I've already said 549.99.
I don't want to be boring, but I kind of have to agree. 550.
Okay, all right. 550. Yeah. Okay, one penny more. Adam Carroll, price on launch for Series X.
I'm going to say 450.
Right, I'm going to say... no, it's not fair if I go first every time. Chris White, price on launch for PlayStation 5.
499.99.
That's exactly what I was going to go for. 499. So I think they'll undercut the Xbox by 50. Adam Carroll?
I think the same.
So you think...
I think it's going to be $499.
Same as us, or...
I think it's going to be more expensive.
Than the Xbox?
Yeah. I think Xbox, personally, just... They take better steps of recent, I feel, in certain areas. They're just a bit more kind of on the line of the future of gaming, as we just discussed with the likes of Game Pass. So okay. I just think their ways of thinking is a bit more... Like, there's a lot of stuff I could criticise about PlayStation right now, like, that I just don't like. I just see it as a game console, but there's loads of things they need to fix. And I think if unless they fix these problems, they can't come out and go, oh, 550. And it's like, well, what's going to go on with your console then? Because like, there's so much stuff you need to sort out, I feel, for your community.
We should say, by the way, as well, that the Xbox One... Sorry, fucking hell. The Xbox Series X is, according to the stats now, officially the more powerful of the two, if that is something that helps you. Chris, back to you then. I'm going to ask the same question to you both, but I'm not going to ask the same question about both consoles because it won't work. Do you believe, Christopher, that PlayStation, on launch, will have some version of Game Pass? I mean, they've currently got PlayStation Now, which is a streaming backwards compatibility service. But you can, I believe, they have... Yeah, you can now play PS4 games on that, can't you?
Yes.
Do you believe they will make steps and have a kind of fully-fledged PlayStation Pass, you know, system?
No.
Okay. Adam Carroll, same question?
I don't think so. I think they'd like to try it, but... I don't think it'll be done.
PlayStation Now's close, but
if they do anything, they might incorporate PlayStation Now into the PS Plus. But in terms of new games, they'll carry on releasing them.
But
they are doing.
Do you know,
I think.
Even that though, I think PS Plus is a pile of balls. I pay for that yearly and stuff, and I get an odd game here and there free, but the games that they give out, they're just not good half the time, you know? There's always some absolute dud title that's thrown in with them, and you're just for God's sake, PlayStation, come on. That's why I don't have faith in them going forward with a Game Pass thing to the quality of what Microsoft are doing. Because Game Pass is actually nearly hard to believe at times.
Well, let's stick with Game Pass, Adam, and we'll stick with you for this one. Do you think that Microsoft will continue with Game Pass exactly the way it is now, which is to say, first-party games, day and date on PC and Xbox, all in part of that thing? Or do you think they will make changes to Game Pass going forward?
Tricky one. I think there will be changes, but what changes they need to do, I actually can't really say, because it seems to be a quality service as of right now. But maybe, going back to what we were just discussing, they probably need to look at it in a way of people need to kind of play more games and give the developers their time, because devs might complain about it or something, you know. I don't know, but I think minor tweaks might happen, but it'd be very strange for them to increase the price or something like that.
It would be pretty bad, difficult for them to walk back on what they've
absolutely
put out there, wouldn't they?
The quality is so good for the price that I don't know, you both of you guys have Xboxes. Are people complaining about Game Pass in any way, shape or form?
Oh, no. Game Pass is by far the most popular of all the services, I believe.
Yeah. So I think Microsoft will just keep that going for as long as possible and hope that whatever Sony plan to do here next, unless it's top drawer, they might see it as being a way for a new audience to come over to Xbox.
Chris, same question.
Yeah, I don't think there's any risk of them changing anything right out the gate. I think it's a good value. It's, you know, a lot of people are playing it. With new Xbox Series X games coming to it, we're assuming, and it's still the same price, then that can only be a good thing. It all depends on where they lie with their profits and how they see it going forward, but I can't imagine them in changing the price for now. It'd be a dangerous thing to do, releasing a new console and, as you said, going back on it or what they've said and stuff. So I can't see them making any major changes as of yet.
Okay. Let's move on. Well, have you got... Again, it's a funny old week. It's a funny old year, let's be honest. I don't want to talk... I'm still playing Animal Crossing New Horizons for 2 hours every day. I think that will be my go-to game now going forward. I haven't had a chance to play any more Ori and the Will of the Wisps. I really want to. I haven't had a chance to play any more Persona 5 Royale. I keep saying Royal. But I have played a bit more Doom Eternal. That game continues to be amazing. I don't see a lot of people talking about it, but I don't know. It's really weird, right? If you'd have thought Animal Crossing or Doom, you'd have gone, oh yeah, Doom's like this huge game and it will dominate. I'd say it's Animal Crossing that's dominating. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, there's as of recording today, though, GameStop have released Doom Eternal
Doom early
today.
Oh, have they?
Yeah.
So, Yeah, they're doing it to like not have crowds of people coming in on the same day because there's going to be Animal Crossing and Doom. So, but it's hilarious though because, well, I know Adam, you're not really like that big. You're not like laughing at the whole like Doom and Animal Crossing thing that's going
on. No, I find it a bit strange, but it's fine. People like it.
It's kind of hilarious now again, though, because now it's like they've split it. Like, everyone's pissed off because it's just like Doom are getting it first.
Oh, really?
Well, no one's pissed off. But it's just a kind of a running joke still going that, like, Animal Crossing fans have to wait till tomorrow.
The irony is they are actually kind of the perfect foils for one another because Doom is such an intense game. It is such an intense game that, like, you come out of it, I think I said last week, didn't I, Chris? Like, your palm's sweaty, like, you are shaking. Yeah. It is one of those games where almost when you finish an encounter, you're like, I have no idea what's going to happen. It's like you just blacked out. It is such a, like, you know, almost, and went psycho on all these demons. You're like, it is so zonal, like, you are in that zone. It is frightening almost how much it takes you. Like, I couldn't tell you anything going on around me. It requires that much concentration. Whereas Animal Crossing, then, is just, for me, it's just the quintessential chill game. Like I've said in the review, you can do anything and everything you want to or don't want to. It's totally up to you. They really do work nicely. Like, you know, I'm sat in my office right now where we play Doom Eternal, but then I go in the lounge with the family and play Animal Crossing, and it really is... Yeah, they really are kind of perfect to come out at the same time. Like I said, I've played, that's kind of all I've played. I don't know if you guys have any further questions about either of them games or if you want to just, what have you been up to sort of thing, you know?
With the week that it is, like I kind of been sitting inside and I've just been like looking at my collection going, okay, so now's the time to just like play everything that I can.
Play all those Yakuza games.
All that kind of stuff, you know? So I've kind of like, but you know when you start, I don't know, like, there's not many times in our lives that we get to do this. But
no.
When you do it, it's like you start something and then you're kind of, oh, I'm not really feeling that. I'll maybe try this. I'm not really feeling that one either. And you're going back and forth. But at the moment, I jumped in last night, weirdly, for like a couple of matches in Battlefield 1.
Okay.
I know it's really strange. I put the disc in, it was like 40 gig install or download patch. I was like, oh my god. But I did it and I just said, I wonder what's going on. Is it still like a big deal, this game? And I jumped in for a round of conquest and I was actually laughing out loud at the level of how shit I was, and but the level of chaos around me. I literally had buildings falling on me for a solid 5 minutes at one point. There was just constant debris just going everywhere. Like, that game is so impressive, like, in its ways. Like, to deliver the intensity that it aims for, it's really, really, really cool. So I was doing that, I had good fun at that. And then I actually started Diablo 3 on Switch. I've had that for a while and I've been jumping in on that. That's been a lot of fun. And then the real one where I'm like, brilliant, here we go, I'm doing this now. Unfortunately, because I'm out of work, I had to cancel like a couple of things that I had ordered because I don't have an income right now. So I had to cancel my Persona 5 Royal Phantom Edition, right? Which it sucks, major bomb. But look, it is what it is.
You ain't gonna get that now, are you?
Yeah, it is what it is. Whatever. So I ended up basically booting up Persona 5. Because I'm not going to... Like, I'm buying Animal Crossing, and I think that's going to be, like, my big release. Like, I don't know. We don't know what way releases are going to go either, because, like, as we've seen, like, Final Fantasy 7... Like, obviously, we can get these digitally and stuff, but I'm a physical collector, but they've announced that Final Fantasy 7 might be hard to get physical on day one. But then there's things like that. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get day one. We none of us know these situations right now. But anyway, jumped into Persona 5. I said, I have the original game. Let's get through this. Like, that game is absolutely amazing. It is... The style that game delivers is insane. I don't think there's actually a game I've ever seen with this much style.
It is like properly, the aesthetic is insane.
Every single detail, every single fucking detail in Persona 5 pops out with something charismatic or charming. And I'm kind of just invested in this kind of thing right now. With like, I wish I could wait. Like, I know when's Royal out in 2 weeks or something like that. I could wait for that. I know it's probably going to be the definitive edition. It apparently is, judging by the reviews. I think it's like the third highest on Metacritic currently or something like that. And I'd love to play that one, but when I have this one, I may as well just fucking do it. I don't have to be the box to be spending. So, loving this at the moment. Totally, totally invested. You said you're playing...
Cool.
You're playing Royal, are you?
Chris is, yeah.
You're playing that, Chris. Are you enjoying this? Is this your first time playing Persona 5?
No, I played it when it came out. Not all the way through, but I've played a lot of Royal, and it's incredible. There's a lot... I mean, I talked about a lot of the changes last week, but it's not a simple, like, they've not just touched it up, made a few improvements. They've included a lot of new stuff.
Mm.
Stuff that actually makes an impact into the story. It's just not a case of a few extra lines of dialogue or a few different cutscenes. There's like new characters that you could use in the Phantom Thieves. There's new tools to get around the palaces. There's different the ways they've changed the combos for certain things. Like they've done everything, and that some of the boss fights have changed. So there's new attacks some of the bosses are using, and they're, you know, completely different to Persona 5. So and obviously they have improved some of it visually. And it looks, if you you can't really think it can get any better, but they've made it better by adding loads of beautiful animations. Like right off the bat, you see the intro screen's changed, and the animated like intro to the game. It's just they've really taken a lot of effort into making it a better game.
Yeah, I don't think, like, I'm obviously not going to get it for quite some time, especially if I'm playing the original game as it is now, or the original version, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But like, I definitely do want, like, I've read up on these changes, and they do seem great, obviously. And like, there's all small things, like even last night, when I started, like, I got the gun, like, I'm still only like 2-3 hours in or something, you know, but because I only started it again last night, but got the gun, and I forgot about the actual gun that he gets. But I heard, like, in Royal, like, one of the changes they made is, like, the ammo reloads after, like, every battle now,
every
or something,
battle,
as opposed to when he gets to the real world. That's the only time it'll reload in the one I'm playing.
So
things like that are pretty cool, because that gun is a lot of fun to play, and the style pops so much when you are using it.
Yeah.
But I hope, like, I'm hoping personally that when it comes to a time where I'll, like, get around to playing Royal, that, like, maybe it might have eventually come to Switch, and that would be just...
No, never happening.
Stop it, you! A boy can dream. Do you really think it's not going to happen?
I really don't think it's coming to Switch, no.
At all, like?
I think PlayStation have got a deal with them, and I think if it does come, it'll be over a year. I don't think it's going to come to Switch. I really don't.
Not even, like...
Because I don't think they would want to just put this out as, like, oh, it's Persona 4 Royal on Switch. I think they'd want to do like they did with the Vita, you know, Persona 4 Golden. You know, I don't, you can't add any more to this. It's monstrous.
Yeah.
I think just play it, Adam, and enjoy it. Stop worrying about the Switch version, all right?
I'm just saying about the Royal version.
No, just stop. No.
All right. Okay.
No, you just play it and enjoy it, and you be quiet, all right?
All right, I will.
You stop wanting those things, okay?
All right, okay. Chris, what have you been playing?
he's not allowed to talk. Actually, what? Can you talk about that? I don't think you can talk about the game I was going to ask you about.
I don't know.
It's a
Grand
VR
Theft
game.
Auto 6.
Oh, no, I can't. No.
No.
But I've been playing bits and pieces over the last week. Well, one thing I was annoyed about, I was all set to... I downloaded Assassin's Creed Odyssey because I really needed a game to get stuck into, and I never played. I played like the kind of first bit whilst you're on the island, then you go travelling. Like, I'm there, so I've got a whole lot of that game to play. And then realise it was 72 gig, which is mental. And I know that doesn't take long on, like, our Virgin, like,
it's still
internet.
It's certainly a big enough download.
And I started downloading it, and then I turned my bloody PS4 off, didn't I? I didn't leave it in rest mode, so I came back to it at night, and then it was still... So I had to settle for... Yeah, one of them fuckers. So I've been playing Mortal Kombat 11. I've been playing with Spawn. So I've not played with Terminator yet, or the other characters that they've had on, but Spawn is really cool. It's not just like... He looks amazing, because obviously they will do, because NetherRealm's games look amazing. But they've really gone to town with not just his moves, but the lore of the character. And there's like... I did one of the towers, one of the classic towers. And at the end of the tower, there was like a whole cutscene that went into why Spawn was in the NetherRealm. And it was like really cool. And there's like references to the comics and all sorts. So if you think about getting these character packs, they're worth it. Like, if you've got the Ultimate Edition, you get them anyway, but they're like $4.99 for a character. But if you love Mortal Kombat and you love Spawn, then it's perfect, because it's not just a skin, it's a full-on character with the fatalities amazing. Like, he basically extends his kind of extra legs that come out of his back and grabs each limb of the who you're fighting and just rips them apart. It's just savage. So yeah,
bit
of more combat, bit more Persona Royal, and then obviously my go-to game is NBA 2K20, which I'm still playing. And you'll all be glad to know that I finally got Pink Diamond Larry Bird. I know you're all waiting on that info.
We were desperate to know.
Yeah, God, Chris.
I was actually losing
sleep this week over it.
I was lucky enough to get a Hakeem Olajuwon Pink Diamond in a free card pack. So I've already got him. So I sold him for 98,000 tokens. Did a bit of time in the auction house. Got Larry Bird for 83. Had a bit left over for Steve Nash, my point guard. So yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
Nash,
good times,
Nasher.
Mate. Yeah, old Nasher.
Ah. The old Nasher.
Whose brother is played in the Premier League. I can't remember what his first name was, but he was a Nash.
I don't know, but when you say Nasher, you mean like as in like Dennis the Menace, like Nasher with a G, yeah?
Nash, N-A-S-H. Nash.
Right. Yeah, of course. Yeah, him.
Yeah.
If in Star Wars, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
There's a throwback.
And then to get excited for Doom.
Got a memory like an elephant. and a trunk like an elephant. And a stomach like an elephant.
Yeah. And a cock.
And
like
an elephant, yeah.
Doom as well. I've gone back to Doom. I'd been playing more of that since last week. But before I move on, has anybody watched Kingdom on Netflix? Or heard of it?
No idea
it's
what it is,
mate. On my list.
Oh, dude. It's good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably not, though, is it?
Basically, like, it's a zombie show, but it's Korean...
Okay. I'm watching zombies at the moment,
It's a Korean zombie show, and, like, it's just completely different to anything I've seen before. It's set a long time ago, so it's like a historical edge to it. The zombies... Basically, there's an outbreak when this kind of, like, secluded part of Korea is suffering from hunger, and there's a lot of sick people there after the war, and they're all starving. And then this one doctor comes back and brings this body of someone that's died, and you don't know what's happened to them. You're assuming they've been attacked by zombies, but they're not mentioned anything. He's got like a hole in his head and rips all over his body. Take him into this camp, and then there's this one guy in the camp who thinks he's doing good by he basically cooks the body. Because they're not getting any food from anywhere. And he passes off, says that he found a lamb in the mountains. And then there's like this female nurse who questions him. He's like, oh, yeah, no, I went hunting. And she's like, oh, it smells really nice. And everyone in the camp's going, this is lovely. And she puts the ladle in and pulls out a finger. And so she realises that he's killed everyone. But the moment she realises, everyone starts dying. And then they all come back to life, and it's fucking mental. Like, kids are getting ripped apart. It's a bit more savage than that.
Cheer people up with this podcast.
Yeah, well, I know. But I'd say it's escapism.
You're watching that,
but it's
and you're
not.
Playing. So you're watching that, you're playing Mortal Kombat, and you're playing Doom.
And State of Decay. So yeah,
I think we
violence.
Should move on.
Yeah,
yeah, violence. We haven't got any listener correspondence this week because we are recording early. Because, being completely honest with you, the three of us needed to cheer ourselves up, so we thought we'd have a good old chat and you could listen in. I have one thing I did promise we'd do this week, but before we do so, just want to say that if anyone out there wants to chat, you know where you can find us on a Discord. Just want to say hello, want to check in because you're stuck at home and you can't get out. We're here for you, we're here for each other. We'll get through this. We will, I promise you. I have nothing to base that on apart from positivity and hope. And on that note, on the note of hope, Adam Carroll, last week we were sent in a kind of mallet style quiz. Well, me and Chris did it. We started off quite well, Chris. We agreed mostly together, didn't we?
Yeah.
So what basically this is I'm going to read things to you, and you tell me just, you don't explain it, you just give an answer, okay, Adam?
Okay.
So thanks again to Lane It on our Discord for this. It's quite a long list, so let's get started. Leftover pizza, Adam, counter or fridge?
Fridge.
Okay. Do you reheat it or eat it cold?
Reheat us.
Thank God. Do you do it the proper way? Or do you, you know, stick it in a pan upside down so it heats it up and keeps the bottom crispy?
I just put it back in the oven. But sometimes I would eat it cold as well.
Okay. Ketchup, cabinet or fridge?
Don't mind.
No, cabinet or fridge?
Cabafridge.
Life or death? No, you have to pick one, Adam. It's not. You can't. We can't continue.
Fridge.
Chris, tell him.
Cabinet.
Fine. Shouldn't have pushed to that, really, should I? Right, ketchup. Do you put ketchup on eggs?
Yes.
On mac and cheese?
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Of course he does, doesn't he, Chris? I told you he would.
Yeah.
I told you he would. If, by the way, you like Adam Carroll's weird, mad food stuff, on patreon.com/godisgeek for $5 a month and up, you get quite a lot, but one of the things you get is a food-related podcast where we rank them. And by God has... Well, actually, to be fair, Chris, you've been pretty horrifying recently on there as well.
Whatever.
yeah, a little bit. We're not going to spoil it here. You have to go listen. Episode 5 or 6? 6, I think, is up there. Is it 5 or 6? But we do 2 of them a month. And we're going to carry on. I think
we've
6.
Done loads.
Yeah. But back to... Well, 6 isn't really...
Loads of food,
I mean. Like, no, the hint or there. It's, yeah, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, we rank 3 foods every episode, so they tend to bring up some stories. No, you'll have to listen. Just go listen. Adam Carroll, back to the quiz. Ketchup on steak? I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you do. I mean, I was just going to say, I could guess, of course he puts ketchup on steak.
If I'm putting it on pasta and cheese, I'm putting that on steak.
Of course you are. I mean, I'm just going to add one here. It's not on the list, but do you put ketchup on a roast dinner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, come on.
No, you wouldn't. Of course he does.
I put it in,
Chris.
And I put the gravy in, and I mix them together.
No, you don't. You don't fucking do that.
He does.
Mix gravy and ketchup, mate.
Yes, I do. I put the ketchup with the gravy, and I stir it all around, and it goes in my belly.
Chris, you've done 6 I can't speak now. He shocked me to my core. 6 podcasts that are food related.
I know.
Untold podcasts with him where food has come up.
I know.
You can't tell me you're shocked that he puts ketchup on a fucking roast dinner, man.
He mixes it in with the gravy.
But of course he
does.
That's
fucking horrible.
It's amazing.
I bet he puts fucking mayo. I bet there's a bit of mayo in there as well. You can't be shocked at this, lad.
I'm disgusted.
We're all disgusted all the time.
Yeah.
But
you should just try it out.
I can't. Oh,
well, here's one. I reckon at least of all people, even Adam will answer no to this. Do you put ketchup on your ice cream?
Ah, oh, fuck no.
Even you couldn't have. See, that's how you know he's not making it up. Even he couldn't. He just couldn't.
That's desperate.
Right.
If I saw someone doing that, I'd just have to slap him in the nose.
Ah, oh, you'd beat them senseless, wouldn't you? Within an inch of it. You'd have to. Last ketchup related question. Chips or fries? You don't matter which, and we're not getting into that here. Do you dip them in ketchup or do you cover them in ketchup?
Oh, I'm a dipper.
Okay. Chris, I think what we do now, just to finish this podcast, is we'll do the rest of these, but I think you and I get to guess first what he does. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So, Adam, we're going to answer, we're going to guess. So, with your bread, Chris, do you reckon he puts his bread in the fridge or the cabinet? Think about who we're asking. It's also just a fridge. Adam Carroll, bread, fridge or cabinet?
Cabinet.
Nah.
Oh, what? Okay. Mad person puts it into the fridge.
I remember you telling a story about going into your cupboard and fetching some bread out of it that was out of date and you still ate it. I'm fairly sure you did.
When you cut off the mould, Chris.
That might have been, on fork off.
Yeah. Why would you put your bread in the fridge?
Well, I don't know, mate. Why would you do the shit you do?
Why would you regurgitate Pringles like a baby bird and then eat them again?
Yeah.
Vitamins.
Right. Yeah, sure. Chris, do you think he keeps his steak... Sorry, do you think he has his steak rare, medium or well done?
Super rare.
I think medium. Adam Carroll, steak rare, medium or well done?
Adam Cook, you were correct. Medium.
I thought so. I had a feeling I knew. This is just a yes or no question. Chris, there's no point asking you or me to guess this. The answer's definitely yes. Mayonnaise, yes or no?
Ha! Yes!
Yeah, I mean, of course it was.
Jared,
you can't say too much because we do a podcast where we rank food. So, Chris, do you reckon he prefers his eggs scrambled, boiled, or fried?
I reckon he prefers them fried.
Shoved up his arse and then
re-shits them out.
Sorry, we can't use that as a title. Re-shits them out.
Fried.
I love the way you talk like fried. I'm just not here.
Yeah, because it's fried, you reckon, did you say? I think he's going to throw a curveball here, and I think he's going to throw a fourth option and say poached.
I reckon he cracks them open and just swallows it like Rocky.
That's the fifth option.
Shell and all.
Yeah,
into the garden.
He just sticks them straight in.
Shall it all.
So what is it, Ad? What's your favourite egg use? Scrambled, boiled,
scrambled.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
I'm not. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just disappointed that I haven't got one right.
I'll tell you what's one of the poorest is a fried egg fried both sides. I think if you do that, you're a big arsehole.
So, I'm not even going to address it, Chris. I'm not even addressing it. So, with your eggs, Adam, if you had a fried egg, do you want it broken or with a runny yolk?
Explain the broken situation. What do you mean broken?
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. Chris, feel free. I'm not explaining what a broken yolk is to him.
Runny, it's basically the opposite of runny, isn't it? So
runny sounds like it's broken.
But no, if you cut your yolk for too long, it just becomes like hard, so you can break it easier. It becomes broken when you're eating it.
Oh, see, no, I thought it was like, so say if you had an egg on bread or egg on toast, you're breaking it and spreading the yolk around the bread rather than having the runny that you just dip into almost.
Oh, well, there's not much difference, really, I guess.
Not really. I didn't write
it. Well, I prefer it runny. Like... Jesus.
Yeah, okay. Of course you would.
Very technical.
Of course you would. I'm imagining you just funneling as much sauces onto them and making some sort of drink.
Oh, listen, I would have about three or four sauces going with each.
Save it. Potatoes, Adam.
Yo.
No, Chris, what do you reckon? Do you think he prefers... Now, this is a touchy subject.
I was
born
a potato.
I know, this is why it's a touchy subject. Do you think he likes them mashed, baked or fried?
Mashed.
I think mashed also. Adam.
Fuck it, mashed with a pile of relish and spring onion. Yum!
Home fries or hash browns, Adam?
Ooh, hash browns.
Ooh.
Hash browns.
I wasn't expecting that.
Hash browns are serious business.
Chicken, boneless or bone in?
Oh, fucking fuck off, Bourne.
Boneless it is then. Do you prefer soup or stew?
Oh, stew with ketchup.
Oh, for fuck! He's foul.
It's
Chris. Do you think he likes cake? No. You can't. You can't tell anymore. We have a podcast for food. These are one word answers. Chris, do you think he likes cake or pie?
I think he likes a good pie.
What pie though?
Cake. No, that doesn't matter.
Nah, for fuck's sake, it could be any pie.
Cherry pie.
Let's just say your favourite cake or your favourite pie.
Ah. Cake.
Fair enough. Cream or crunch? Creamy or crunchy peanut butter? We've done this on Fork Off, so I know that this one's crunchy.
Yep.
Jelly or jam, Adam?
Jam.
Okay. Is your favourite meal breakfast, lunch or dinner?
Sometimes I can have all three in a space of an hour.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt that. That was never under question.
Breakfast, lunch or dinner. Dinner is a fucking okay. Great time of the day.
And this is the last one, Adam, and I don't want anything other than a yes or no answer. We will not be discussing this any further here tonight, today, this morning, whenever you're listening. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No. Is a hot dog a sandwich? No.
Sorry? Well, look, the debate me and Chris had last week was that, technically speaking, you think about a burger, it's two bits of bread with a burger in the middle of it, and a hot dog is two bits of sort of bread with a hot dog in the middle of it, and a sandwich, cheese sandwich, is two bits of bread with some cheese in the middle of it.
Is a hot dog a sandwich? No. Fuck it.
Okay. And sure. And thank you again, Lainit, for the questions. On that note, Chris, Adam, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. We really appreciate you listening. We hope you're all right. As we said before, we're not going to get too sappy at the end here because we're trying to lift the spirits. We're trying to be cheerful. And we spent 30 minutes complaining about next-gen hardware we haven't tried yet. So, again, Chris, if people want to find you, can they find you anywhere? Or are you?
They can find me on the Twitter at FirstAvenger83.
And ads?
I'm also on social media under kind Adam Zooks, but I don't really use it all that much. So
no,
I don't. Discord, do our Discord. I like that Discord place.
Come find us. Yeah, Discord's fun. Thank you very much for listening. As I say, if you want to come to Discord, chat to us. If you want to just say hello, do so. YouTube.com/GodIsAGeek. We're going to keep the content coming the best we absolutely can within our means. Hopefully, you know, maybe we'll do some streams or something. You know, maybe next week if you're a patron, we'll try and do something with the podcast that maybe. I'll look into it, see if we can do it live or something. I don't know. We'll try and keep the content coming. We know people are stuck at home. Although, if you listen to this in the future, totally irrelevant podcast, waste of your time. But thank you. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye for now.